So yeah, about a year ago, I did this same exact exercise. It was a time in my life where I realized I needed the Lord to be in my life 100%. I think throughout a lot of my life, I lived for the Lord 80%. I justified that, hey, at least I'm going to church every Sunday. At least I'm in Bible studies. I'm saying all the right things. But in my heart, I didn't know the Lord. And this is just a cool time to reflect on what God is wanting to speak into your heart. And so why do you guys think we did this exercise? Anyone have a answer? Raise a hand. Nobody? Yeah. Trying to take God's perspective? Yeah, totally. I think it's a time to listen to the Lord. I think we get so caught up in being busy and doing our own thing and not even considering God on a daily basis. It's a time to slow down. I don't know if you guys noticed, but when you write with your less dominant hand, your non-dominant hand, you think slower, you process slower, and you give time to the Lord. So yeah, it's a time to slow down. It's a time to allow God to show his kindness and his love to you. And that was something I experienced. And so I thought it'd be cool for you guys to experience that as well. And hopefully it's something you guys could hold on to. And maybe it's something you guys will do later on as you spend time with God. And so if you guys brought your Bible, we're going to jump into Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5:22. And Paul says in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, which is patience, or refraining from something, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. And as we focus on the fruit of the Spirit, we'll be kind of just honing in on kindness and what that is in our lives. I think a lot of us consider ourselves nice people, I would think, as Christians, as followers of Christ. But what does it truly mean to be kind to others? In my own life, I think being kind would be acting out of ourselves, looking from within ourselves and seeing what God's put in our hearts and acting on it, whether that's seeing someone that's in need. It's being bold. I looked up what kindness represents, and there's over 800 words that fall under the umbrella of kindness, synonyms of kindness: respect, caring, sensitive, empathy, love. The list goes on. And I think a lot of times it's easy for us to do our own thing, go throughout our day, and not consider anyone around us, not consider those that God's put in front of your lives to be image bearers of Christ. Guys in your cabins, girls in your cabins, friendships in your classes, teammates on the sports field, on the court. God's calling us to live a life that is bold and that is confident in Him. And if we call ourselves Christians, we need to start acting like it and live that out, not just in our words, but in our actions. And our actions speak louder than our words. And through that, our hearts are going to follow the Lord. And so, as we jump into that, it's a divine quality. It's from God. I'm going to switch on to Ephesians chapter 1. So it's just a couple pages to the right, if you flip over. And it says, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 through 14. And this is Paul talking as well. And it says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. And basically what this is saying is when we proclaim that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, God gives us a gift, and that is the Holy Spirit. God enters into our lives through the Holy Spirit, and we are now living our lives with Jesus inside our hearts. He gives us the attitudes of the fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, and specifically kindness. Of what does that look like in our lives? I think we overlook kindness as something that we all do. We all are nice to others, but are we truly acting that out to those that need kindness the most? I mean, think about people in your lives that are a little weird, or people in your lives that get made fun of on a daily. People in your lives that don't have friends, that aren't popular, that don't play sports or aren't considered cool. Kids that are smarter than you, kids that aren't loved. Are we as Christians, as followers of Christ, are we acting out the attitudes that Christ gives us when we accept him into our hearts? And it's a gift. It's something that when you walk by a person that needs help, that's alone, I think if Christ is living in your heart, you're going to see that person and you're going to want to help him or her. And I think it's just a cool thing that like God is living and breathing inside of us. We are an image of God through acknowledging that we can't do this life without him. And immediately, just like Paul said, the fruit of the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and it's a gift from the Lord. And so take a second and acknowledge maybe areas in your life where maybe you're dishonoring God by not acting out in kindness. I think we don't realize it, but when we aren't acting on what God is calling, how God is calling us to live, that is sin. When you feel the conviction to do the right thing, but you choose to do wrong, that is sin. If you don't acknowledge to do the right thing and you just ignore it, that is still considered sin. And so the Holy Spirit is there to convict us. It's there to prompt us. It's there to correct us. It's there to guide us. And I just want to encourage you guys that as we continue this week and as we continue to go down the hill, let's be in tune of the Holy Spirit that's inside of us, those that call ourselves believers. Because it's an awesome gift that God gives us. And we're going to grow in the Lord when we continue to allow him to use us through the Holy Spirit of acting out in kindness to one another. And so I'm going to jump to one more passage in Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 29 through 32. All right, Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. And here it is straight up. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. And I'll say that one more time. Verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. And maybe this is a time to reflect. I think that verse really hits home for me of reflecting on areas where maybe we've been mistreated. Maybe we've been made fun of. Maybe we've been ridiculed for our faith. Maybe our parents have hurt our feelings in a way that is deeply wounded in our hearts and we haven't gone through the healing process. Maybe that's because of divorce. Maybe that's because you're in a relationship and you got cheated on. Maybe that's because you didn't make the football team, or you didn't make the cheerleading team, or you didn't make the basketball team. Maybe there's a grudge and maybe there's bitterness in your hearts. And God says to get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. And I think this is just God calling us out as believers that we need to be honest with the feelings that we have. God gave us feelings for a reason, and he wants us to be honest with those feelings. And you're, whether that's being shamed or feeling guilt through sin, God wants us to feel free from that sin, and we're never going to feel that freedom in Christ without not only admitting that we are sinners, but believing that he died on the cross and rose again for our sin and set us free from that, but then to confess it. ABC, it's something one of my youth pastors taught me when I was a little kid, was the ABCs: admit, believe, and confess. Do we admit that God is our one true King? He is the creator of the universe. Do we believe, admit that we are sinners, but do we believe in him as well, that he created us for a purpose, and that we aren't on this mountain for some random coincidence or some accident, and then confessing that we need him in our lives. And I think it's easy to go throughout our days, and life is good, high school's easy, friends are fun, and we don't really see the consequences for our heart on not truly believing that God is our one true King. So right now, on that same piece of paper, I thought it'd be cool for you to write down 3 to 5 names that God has put on your heart in this moment that you need to have a conversation with. Maybe that's someone that's hurt your feelings, or maybe it's someone that you hurt then. I think we're all guilty of obviously not being perfect, and there's people in our lives that we've hurt, or people that have hurt us. And God calls us to be honest with one another and to love each other and to bear that kindness with one another. And so right now, write down a few names that maybe God right now is speaking to you in scripture of, that people you need to have a conversation with, people that you need to show love to, despite how you feel. Because being kind is not always about how you feel. Being kind is an attitude that Christ has given us despite our feelings. Being kind is an action. It's being bold and living for Christ and not living for ourselves. And that's what sin is living for ourselves and not living for God. So I'll give you about 45 seconds, or I'll give you actually one to two minutes of just reflecting on relationships in your life that you need to pray for, or you need to have a conversation with, to exemplify Jesus to through kindness. All right. Yeah, so as we jump into one more scripture, we're going to go into Genesis, beginning of creation, and when sin first entered the world. Genesis chapter 3, 6 through 13. You guys there? Cool. All right, so starting with verse 6 of chapter 3 of Genesis. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid. from the Lord God among the trees of the garden, but the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." And as we reflect on our own lives, in my own life, there was a time where I was enslaved to sin. I grew up in a Christian home, and I graduated from high school, and I realized my identity was in popularity. It was being a soccer player. It was idolizing myself, idolizing the things that I enjoyed most in life. And when I entered college, I felt this peer pressure to live in the world. Being a soccer player, I was one of the only Christians throughout my life on the team. Throughout most of my teams, I was one of the only believers. And so I was constantly surrounded by people that lived in the world, people that weren't honoring to God, people that weren't showing kindness to those around them. It was a tough lifestyle to be around. It was a self-centered lifestyle. It wasn't showing kindness to one another. It was making fun of someone to be cool. It wasn't a life that was enjoyable. But yet I tried to be a light, but I worried more about what other people thought of me. And as we read Genesis chapter 3, when we first sin, what do they immediately do? They hid behind the bush. And God is calling us to be bold and to be kind to ourselves first. And if we aren't being obedient to the Lord, that is the first thing we need to do. Is if we aren't being obedient to the Lord, we're not going to be able to show kindness to those around us. And maybe there's some of you right now that are hiding behind the bush because of sin that you have been easily entangled in. You're hiding behind the bush because you feel shame, you feel guilt, you feel empty inside for what you have done. And Satan wants to keep you there. Satan wants you to keep you behind the bush because of the decisions you made. But the truth is, like, God loves you so much that he wants you to come out from that bush, and he wants you to lift your hands and surrender your life to him. He wants you to be honest with yourselves on the areas where you feel ashamed or you feel guilt. And areas in my life where I felt ashamed for the way I've been living and being a hypocrite of going to church on Sundays but not confessing the sin that I committed. I got stuck in that sin. And just like Brad Bell said, sin will keep you places you never thought you'd go, with people you never thought you'd be with, and keep you there longer than you ever thought you'd stay. And it's just so evident that God loves us so much that he wants us to come out from the hiding. He wants us to be kind to ourselves through allowing God to pour in his love to us, but we will never experience God's love to the fullest and his joy that he gives us if we are hiding behind the bush. And my encouragement to you is to come out from that bush. God has given you people right here in this beautiful place called Hume Lake, counselors, youth pastors, friends, your parents, counselors down the mountain. I think it's easy to continue to live a life of sin and to not acknowledge that we are being disobedient. But as I continued through college, I became empty inside. I lost the joy that I had through high school because I was living for a relationship that I was in. I was pleasing the people around me before pleasing God. And Galatians 1:10 says, am I living for the approval of man, or am I living for the approval of God? For if I'm living for the approval of man and not God, if I'm pleasing man and I'm not pleasing God, I am not a servant of Christ. It boldly says, I am not a servant of Christ. And maybe that resonates with some of you, but it resonated deep in my heart because I realized that I was living for the people around me, and I was pleasing my teammates. I was fitting in. I was saying I was a Christian, but I wasn't fully living that out in my heart. I wasn't being bold in my faith. I wasn't witnessing Jesus to others inviting them to church, maybe. Maybe that's picking someone up when they're down. It's going outside of yourself and allowing Christ to live inside your heart. And so, yeah, during that time, I realized that I was pleasing those around me, and I needed to start pleasing God. And so I broke up with that girlfriend that I had in college because I was living for her. I didn't acknowledge what God was calling me to do because I was so preoccupied on pleasing someone else and making someone else happy. Maybe that's even pleasing your coach or pleasing your teacher or pleasing your parents. And maybe you guys are doing things in your life that are pleasing someone else, but it's not something that you're enjoying. Maybe it's, you know, it's not the right thing to do in your heart, but yet you're living it out because you worry more about what other people think. And God is straight up saying to myself, he said, Tyler, I love you so much. I want you to please me with all your heart. And through that, you're going to experience love and joy and peace and kindness to the fullest. And when we're living with the Holy Spirit, this is just a tiny dose of who we're created to be for eternity. When we have the Christ living in us, it's just a dose. It's just a piece of who God created us to be. And so I just wanted to encourage you guys in that as we continue to be Christ followers, may we acknowledge the sin in our lives and may we rebuke it. May we push it away and confess it to one another so that we can be set free from what's holding us back of allowing God to fill us up with his love. And ultimately, in Matthew, it says to love God and love others. Those are the two greatest commandments. If you guys don't take anything from this week, remember that God is calling us to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others. Those are the two greatest commandments that God calls us to be. And if we aren't living those out, then we aren't Christ followers. We aren't spending an eternity with him. But if we acknowledge that we need a savior, and we acknowledge that there's brokenness and there's guilt and shame, God is calling you as a child and he wants you to enter into his kingdom. And so I hope, this seminar has been somewhat of an encouragement from you, or hopefully you're able to take away just areas of your life where God has given us the attitude through the Holy Spirit to be kind to others. And we need to start stepping up and not worrying about what other people think because we want to fit in with those around us in our high schools. But he's calling us to live a life that's worthy of him and to go down the straight and narrow path and picking those people up that are being bullied physically or emotionally or verbally. And so, yeah, thanks guys for coming to the seminar. We have about, I think like 10 to 15 minutes of snack time before the next seminar. So I'm going to close this out in prayer, and then you guys are free to go. So dear God, just thank you so much for just this time of diving into your word, God. God, may we take away just areas in our life where we aren't being kind to ourselves, God. Ultimately, we need to be obedient to you, God, so that we can experience your love and kindness in our heart first, God, so that we can pour that out into those around us, God. God, I pray that we can dive into your scripture, Lord. God, that we can look at your holy Bible, Lord, and that we can see it as your breath, your living and breathing just word, God. And so, God, I just pray that we can take your word seriously, Lord, and that we can take our lives seriously, because our decisions have major consequences, and the hurt and pain can be totally removed from our lives if we continue to honor you and choose you instead of choose our selfish and sinful desire. God, may we trust you. May we grow in faith by just taking one step of being obedient to you. Maybe that's opening up our word daily, even when we don't feel like it. Maybe it's being kind and acting outside of ourselves and showing kindness through action. God, maybe it's praying for someone that has hurt us or coming alongside someone that has hurt you. God, just thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your love. And may we continue to just grow in you and acknowledge that we need you in our lives. So thank you so much for giving us breath. And may we not take our lives for granted. We love you, and in your name, amen.